Hi everyone, we're back. Well, yeah, we took a short break to deal individually with the things that have been going on, but still support our communities in our own personal ways. And we will still continue to support all the things that are going on and all the protests, all the strides that have been made towards like making this world a more just, more livable place for everyone and not just one particular demographic. That being said, we're coming into a new sort of like energy. Can you feel this?
I can feel it.
Because we've got people with infectious, great, positive energy, everyone.
Auntie, before before, who are you?
Oh, I think they know who we are at this point. Anyways, my name is Ecosia. Take it away.
My name is Ritual.
And I am Michelle.
And we are the third culture kids. Yes. And now we can revert back to exactly what Ecosia was saying. Sorry.
That's what I was saying. I was saying that we've got...
See how excited she is about it? She couldn't even wait to introduce us first. It's like, we're going straight into it. That's how good it is. That's how epic it is.
Okay. You know, now I know. Ritual, take it away, Michelle.
Okay. It's basically, guys, on this topic, and I think something that has come at a time where a lot of us might need it, is we're just discussing self-care, finding your passions, and healthy relationships and friendships. So stay tuned for the episode. We have some fantastic guests that we will introduce to you as we go on. Okay, welcome back to this episode where we are talking about how to be you, self-love, finding your passions, and healthy relationships. This is actually one of the most exciting episodes up to date because we have two special guests in our virtual studio, Dora and Akeem. So this is where we cue the virtual applause. I'm going to introduce Dora and Ecosia will introduce Akeem. Let us tell you a little bit about them before they get into it. So Dora is a mental health visionary, self-care advocate, and the founder of Bliss Your Heart, an online and in-person platform that promotes self-care and mental health. Through Bliss Your Heart, Dora curates meaningful connections and experiences by unpacking areas of sensitivity through uplifting and raw conversations in her monthly workshops and events. This work has allowed her to partner with brands such as Lululemon, Sage Natural Wellness, Bumble, and Bloom. And as if that wasn't already impressive, Dora also holds a BA in psychology and a Bachelor of Science in psychiatric nursing. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Similarly, many of Akeem's efforts and work have been in the self-care and wellness space. As the founder of Beyond Wellness Retreat, which is a retreat set in the mountains of St. Lucia, to allow the complete removal of all distractions in pursuit of one's divine nature, as well as rich soul foods, he has led several conversations around self-agency when it comes to mental and emotional health, as well as the use of purely natural products to accentuate the healing process, whatever it might be for our own individual paths. And researching into him, I also found out a lot about sea moss. So before I make this into like an info session on sea moss, I'm just going to ask you to share a bit about that because I'm still a bit confused. And then share more about yourselves because I feel like no one can do a better intro than you two. So if there's anything that you feel like we should have mentioned that we didn't, please feel free to share.
Hi, thank you so much for that introduction. Yes, as you mentioned, my name is Dora. No longer the founder of Bliss Your Heart. I actually stepped back from that role at the beginning of this year just to work on my own personal things. And so I'm also a mindfulness and meditation artist and creating safe spaces through the use of meditation and currently working on a meditation album and producing my own music. And this still the same, still love mental health, still love self-care. And now also working with Akeem in his business of Rich Soul Foods, providing ancestral healing products from St. Lucia, because that's another thing that we love is taking care of ourselves, using holistic methods, whether it's eating properly, listening to nourishing things, being in nourishing spaces, That's what we like to provide to others. And yeah.
Good, thanks. No, that's perfect. Thank you all. Thank you three for having us on this conversation. It's always an honor to connect and to, you know, have conversations centered around these type of topics, because even though it is becoming more popular and more trendy, it's still something that really people need to continue to hear, the same way they hear messaging from advertisements, same way they hear messaging on Instagram where they see the same thing that's toxic, that's poison for us, that's not uplifting. We need to have, like, we need to drown that out. We need to, I guess, float it out. Like, so we're having this message that's everywhere you look, all you're hearing is about self-love, self-empowerment. So it can never be enough of these conversations. So definitely give thanks for reaching out and for your podcast and all of your efforts in what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow. I feel like, I feel like I just got an intro. I was like, wow. no, but that's amazing that you said that, because when we were kind of researching on both of you, I found this quote on your Instagram, Akeem, and I think you had quoted someone, I think Priest Kailash, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Mm-hmm. And you said that, his quote rather said that self-care is not an event, it's a culture. And I think you just alluded to that when you said that this has to be a continuous process. Yeah. And maybe if both of you, I know self-care sounds self-explanatory, like the definition, but if both of you could give us a little bit of insight of what that, like, wholly and truly means to you individually.
Yeah, it's interesting, because as, like, common and self-explanatory as self-care is, it's something that has been, like, really confused, and it's lost, like, the essence of its original use and its original application. And self-care has turned into something that is preventative, something that is something that you do in all moments, to something that you only do when something is wrong, when there's destruction, when you're going through a hard time. Oh my gosh, I'm having such a hard time at work. Let me do some self-care. Mm. Or, you know, I do self-care Sundays because throughout the whole week, I'm just not caring for myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just interesting how it's like, it's these things that are like, oh, it's so common and it's self-explanatory that we have confused the most. Like, even just like breathing. Like, it's something we take for granted so much. So when it comes to self-care, self-care is just is a moment-to-moment frame of mind and a way of being where you put yourself first. And I know it's like in society, it's kind of like self first is, oh no, that's bad. Oh, selfish. No, no. You know, why are you so rude? You're selfish. But when you really look into being selfish or being self first, you realize that, you know, when you're selfish, that doesn't mean you're doing bad things or harmful things. It's just selfish people who have that negative or angry or destructive disposition, they'll do that. But for the most of us, we're good people, we're balanced people. And when it comes to me, it's like, what's selfish is like, I want to care for Empress Dora. I want to do things for my mother. I want to come on podcasts like these. And that's what happens when I'm being selfish, you know? Mm-hmm. So if we look at selfish and we just really ask ourselves, what would it look like if I was fully selfish? What would I be doing? Who would I be talking to? What jobs would I have? What food would I be eating? What relationships would I be in? How do I exercise? How do I move? You know, what am I, what value am I bringing to the world? You know, so I think if we just open up and just expand it and ask ourselves to figure out what it is for our own self, by like, what does it mean to be self first for me? And I think that's something that everyone has to do for themselves, so they can get their own definition of what self-care is and what self-care looks like for them. You know, so you're not following someone else. You're not doing something just because you saw it on Instagram and you thought it looked good. But you may see something on Instagram, you're like, you know, that looks good. And I actually think I should do that. Let me try it. And then you try and you're like, oh, that was awesome. And, you know, then you could start to develop a self-care practice and a mindset and a culture. Right. So I feel it's very individual, and it's just, you know, asking yourself, what is it like if I was fully selfish or if I was self first? What would that look like?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Definitely. Yeah, exactly. We're snapping fingers for those who can't tell. That's actually, it's very individual and very unique to each person. So Dora, was your, is that kind of a similar outlook that you have? And what was your journey to eventual self-care, self-love, like reaching that, understanding that process for yourself?
Yeah. Just as Akeem said, you know, I was that person that would have to like hit rock bottom in order for me to care and love myself. And so at a certain point in my life and in others' lives, I'm sure you kind of get tired of having to hit rock bottom over and over again to learn the lessons. And so my journey really started when I met Akeem, and I think he kind of saw that tiredness in me and showed me another way to care for myself. So as he said, it's the choices that you're making in every single moment. Am I caring for myself or am I causing myself harm? You know? And it could be just as simple as, you know, staying up late or gossiping or, you know, being on Instagram or all these different things that we do and we look at as just things. It's really a question of, are you caring for yourself or are you causing yourself harm? And so using that to inform myself and inform my practices of self-care, you know, because another thing with it, same when exercise or, you know, working out started to become a trend, a lot of the times when we are working to care for ourselves and love ourselves, we may have this like resentment for ourselves, like, you weren't doing this whole time and now look at you. And then self-care becomes a punishment, you know. Maybe we just save it for Sunday and, you know, throughout the whole week we're beating up on ourselves, and then, oh, now I have to take care of myself and da 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 da. And it's like when you finally get to Sunday, you don't even want to do that, right? Because that energy of you being so resentful doesn't allow you to really bask in the sacredness of what self-care is. And so for me, I try to be mindful of making those choices in each and every moment so that I don't have to punish myself with self-care, and it's more of an act of love.
Amazing. Yeah, Michelle, sorry, I feel like I cut you off.
Yeah, I was actually just going to follow up with a question from that, because I think Akeem mentioned as well that it usually starts from a point of not really doing it to a point of just converting to it. As in, we normally start from not doing it at all and maybe making it a one-day thing to converting to possibly doing it on a daily basis and asking yourself, what do you want and what makes me happy? But my follow-up question to that would be, in most cases, when you haven't practiced it at all, right, you're actually not sure at all of what does make you happy and what selfishness actually looks like, because you're probably consumed by a lot of surrounding noises. So how do you isolate yourself from that noise without completely putting yourself in a vacuum as well? Because at the end of the day, you do have to live within society. You can love yourself and we can practice the self-love, but you're not in a vacuum. So you can't completely silence it, but at the same time, you also need to learn those steps. So yeah, my follow-up question would just be, how do you practice both? Like, not put yourself in a vacuum, but also isolate yourself enough to know what self-love looks like to you.
Good, thanks. Great question. And you know, something very interesting that we could just look at when we look at that question is, like, when we're starting off on a path that is what we would say is good or empowering, we're looking at like how we could not make it bad before we even start, you know? So it's something very interesting, because when someone wants to start eating healthy, they're like, oh, but vegan, they don't get all their nutrients. I'm like, but you don't care about that when you're eating regularly. So why start caring about that now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's just interesting how we have like a little bit of skepticism built in to our programming when it comes to doing these things, right? So it's something that's important to note, because you're gonna realize that you're gonna face resistance on this journey, right? And it just comes from that first thing. I'm about to start my self-care. How do I not be so I'm away from society, you know? That's like the whole other extreme we're already looking at. And that just shows like our inner resistance that is within us, right? So it's not going to be the easiest journey. And it's not something like you say, you just start from 0 to 100. So how I went on this journey, it was basically just like picking one thing at a time. Like, one thing that didn't sit well with me, For me at first, it was just basketball. Like I was eating food before my basketball games and I just wasn't feeling good after. So I'm like asking myself, like, how can I feel good after these basketball games? And then I just went on an experience. I had no idea, no clue of what eating healthy really looked like for me. But it's like, we got to be able to just go on the experimenting and look at ourselves as an experiment. So just, if you don't know, just, you are here. I feel sick after my basketball games and I think it's because of what I eat. All right, let me try to eat something different now. And let me look on Google and search for something. And oh, we find out it may work, it doesn't work. If it works, continue doing it. If it doesn't work, let me try something else. And it's just something where you can just ask yourself, and this is what I did. I just asked myself one thing at a time. Like, okay, what can I eat to help me feel better? Oh, I like actually hemp seeds and bananas and yogurt every day. Oh, okay, let me try that. And instead of these muffins. And oh, that felt amazing. Great. And then I'm like, okay, well, what about my movement? I have a lot of pain in my lower back. Maybe I should start this stretching. Let me see what that's going to do for me. And it's just like approaching it from like kind of scientific of like just asking a question. And then, you know, I feel that doing this action is going to provide me with some relief. And then you go test it. And then if it works, good. If it doesn't, then you just go back to the drawing table. And, you know, that's when it's very important that you have forgiveness and you're not judging yourself. Like, oh, I was wrong. Like, I tried it. It didn't work. I'm terrible at this. I'm just going to go back to how I was before because I'm worthless. You know, like our self-talk is really toxic, right? So
yeah.
To just recognize that and to be easy on yourself. Okay, that was it. That didn't work out that time. I'm one thing closer to actually finding something that works. So yeah, just like little by little, finding one thing to tackle or to approach intentionally at a time and just go from that one to one, and it's momentum, moment to moment to moment, momentum.
That's great. That's amazing. Yeah, sorry, go on, Dora.
Oh, I was just going to say something that you had mentioned, Michelle, is like you could do all the self-care and like all the self-love practices at home, but the real work starts when you're out at work or with friends or with family members. And then it's like that's again where the experiment comes, because then you're testing your hypothesis, you know, you're testing to see if the work that you've actually been doing is serving you and is a sustainable practice that you can use in all other aspects of your life. Because for me, I definitely found myself wanting to self-isolate. I'm not going to hang out with my friends. You know, this is self-care. This is my boundaries, da 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 da. And then when I get out there, it's like I had no self-control, you know? So it's important that there's that balance of, yeah, what I'm doing at home is great, but what happens when I'm outside in the real world? Because I still have to go outside. And then you get to really see if what you're doing is working. If not, then just adjust.
Now I'll add on that one a little bit. Is I actually feel when starting on this journey, put yourself in as much of a vacuum as possible for your given moment. So you know, work on like isolating yourself as much as possible without feeling like you've shaken your world up. And then because you need as much help from your environment as possible, you know? So like if you're going to try to continue to do the same things every day and then change with the self-care practice in the evening is going to be a little bit difficult. So as much as you can, like, you know, have less of the connection with those friends that you may feel are toxic. Watch less of those shows. And, you know, just also not feeling kind of bad for isolating yourself or taking time for yourself. You know, because there's being alone and then there's lonely, right? And we got to fight the fear that we have of being alone, you know, because alone doesn't mean lonely.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
So yeah, just to honor that and to allow yourself to kind of disconnect from people for a certain amount of time. So then you could get that clarity. And then once you reapproach these people after a certain period of time, you could see how it fits into your life. You could see how you're feeling. And then it's almost like, then you get to have fun with, okay, now I get to see what I really want to connect to, because I've disconnected from it all. Now I get to reconnect.
Right.
So on my journey, I was able to really self-isolate. Like, I was in quarantine back in 2012. Like, I was self-isolated. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was something that it was very helpful for me, but it may not be realistic or practical for everyone else. But yeah. I just say, like, don't be afraid to isolate yourself and, you know, give yourself that distance if it is what you need, like social distance. Like, so interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like this pandemic situation, being isolated, definitely removed my fear of being alone. I'm not lonely. I have, you know, I have a Cozy, I have Michelle, we're virtually connected to people, but I'm living alone, isolating alone. And it just made me enjoy my company more. Mm-hmm. I haven't invested in self-care as much as I should have, but it's a continuous process.
You can forgive yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
I realized that one of the places you mentioned about being the hardest to practice self-love is in the workplace. And so, like, currently I'm working, Ritual's working, Michelle too's working in her own capacity. And we find it, I think, hard to actually, like, love ourselves. Like, we come out of meetings feeling drained. And I'm like, I always tell my roommates, like, I have a face on for work. And then when I'm done with my meetings, I take off my face, and it's such a heavy face. But we have you too, where you have created your own workspace and something that you really love. And so you've been able to incorporate, I think, self-love and business of self-love into what your actual work is. And some people may say, well, is that really self-love? Like, taking that gamble on if this is going to work out or not, is that really self-love? Isn't security more of like self-love, and taking a traditional way of like working or going into employment, isn't that rather self-love to have something so secure? So what is your, I think, take on, first of all, that like entrepreneurial journey, and also like bringing self-love into work in the workplace for people that have more, I guess, traditional forms of employment?
Want to go?
Okay. For me, when I'm in, like, you just have to embody what it is that you're talking about. So for me, even in, like, when I was in school, I'd have my lunch, like, I'm eating, like, curries, I have my tea, like, mm-hmm. I have, like, a 4-course meal in the middle of my, in the middle of my course, right? And it's because I know that I'm not going to be able to pay attention if I'm hungry. And so just like those little acts of like feeding myself, nourishing myself, closing my eyes, taking a breath, like listening to affirmations before I would go into work, or if I was going for my practicum, like doing these things. And then people see me doing that, you know, oh, I wish I could have enough time to make my lunch, you know, on Sunday, and then, you know, have like meal prep ready. And I'm like, well, why don't you have time? Okay, well, yeah, you know, and at the end of my program, it was interesting because there was 3 people who were always really curious about what I was eating, and then they started eating more plant-based meals. And then, you know, he got an Instant Pot, and he was making his meals on Sunday, and like all these different things, because I was able to stand true in what I know and embody the things that I know and what's good for me. And then that radiates to other people when they see you doing that. I don't care that you guys can smell my lunch and that I'm drinking my green tea and it looks like mud water and all the things that I had to go through, like, you know, so me just standing true and standing in my power and showing that to other people, right? Because mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of groupthink when we're in the workplace of not wanting to be our own individual selves and having to fit in, because that's what the culture is like when we're working in these different things. But for me, I am my own person. I am that I am. And so I do what it is that I need to do to take care of myself. And so that's what I've done. But on the entrepreneurial aspect, my parents are very African. And so even now that I've taken a step back from working in the hospital as much and, you know, working with Akeem or working on my meditations or being self-employed, like, my parents still don't understand, you know, how are you supporting yourself? Why would you do schooling? You need to get a full-time job. Akeem, my mom like sends Akeem's different business, different job positions, even though we're thriving, right? Mm-hmm. But she knows that Akeem has a economics degree. So she's like, look at this, like your degree is good for this. And you know, it's like, we're just gonna have to show you in what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. We'll come to our household. There's no lack of anything. There's nothing that we are lacking here. And then slowly but surely, you know, they start to be like, okay, well, maybe you aren't struggling as we thought. But I think for me and for Akeem as well, it's just like embodying all that you are. And you have to be fully like immersed in it, because when I was one foot in and one foot out, and then it's like I start to doubt myself and I start to second guess myself and my ability and my potential, because now I'm kind of thinking like, oh, maybe my mom is right, and maybe I should get a full-time job for benefits, and you know, maybe I shouldn't waste this degree. But it's like, that's not what I want, that's what she wants. Again, just drowning out that distraction by being mindful of the different energies that are around you in your workplace, and realizing that a lot of the times people are projecting their stuff on you. So you don't know how their family was like, you know, their environment, what's that like their perceptions. And so they're projecting on you their own ideas and expectations of what it's supposed to be working in a workplace. And so once you're able to recognize that, it's none of your business anymore. You know that this is what I've come to do, and everything else that y'all think I'm supposed to be doing, that's none of my business. And then you just keep on moving forward.
I think you mentioned expectations, and that's great, because that's actually something we wanted to talk about. Being undergrad students and just going out into the workplace, generally this culture that we have is the only way to be successful is this one way. And so not only does society expect something from us, we also put the weight of those expectations on our shoulders. And it's not as easy to say, I'm just going to do what I want, when you've been conditioned to that kind of thinking for so long. And this might be a bit too specific of a question, but do you have a way, or was there a moment where the light bulb clicked for you and you're like, this is how I'm going to step away from those expectations? Or are there any specific actions you maybe took to remove yourself from that mindset?
Listening to Akeem. You know, he was the one. I'm very stubborn, I'll admit that. I'm very stubborn. And so for me, you know, again, growing up in an African household, like you're told, like, as soon as you're born, you're going to be a doctor and da-da-da-da-da. So ingrained, yeah, or a lawyer. So that's ingrained in me, like, very, very deep. And so, you know, Akeem, him being, like, I want to say free-spirited, but he just, you know, he marches to the beat of his own drum, and he knows what it is that he needs to do and what he's here to do. And so seeing him do that, and seeing him just be like the happiest person in life, like, I don't think there's anybody that's happier than he is in this whole entire world. And seeing that his happiness is like self-generated, you know, I had to take that risk. And I haven't been more successful now than any other moment in my life. And it's because I'm doing what makes me happy. And but I had to take that risk, because, you know, I'm sure right now I would have been at work working 7 to 7, doing all these things, because that's what I was supposed to do. But just recognizing that, you know, I am the generator of my own happiness. And so I had to take the risk to prove that to myself. And I did. And, you know, then doors start to open up and things start to happen, because I'm, okay, I'm on that path. I'm doing it. You know, and so, yeah, it was just listening to him, seeing him and what he does, and being like, hey, you know what, I can do that too. But it's still ongoing. You know, my mom will still call me. I'm sure she is going to tell me today when I talk to her about applying for the part-time position that she saw online. Or, you know, so it's again, moment by moment. It's like I have to conquer these things moment by moment, because I know that I'm on my right path and I'm growing when I am faced these challenges, and I'm still able to stand true in who I am and remember like my intention and my purpose for everything that I'm doing. And so when those tests show up, it's like, okay, are you going to let your mom dictate this situation, or are you going to dictate the situation? And so yeah, just, you know, finding what it is that makes you happy and doing that, like, relentlessly, like, pursuing that relentlessly, unconditionally, and just being able to take risks and trust, having trust and faith, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, like I like how when you were talking about it, one of the first things you mentioned, right, was that you actually learned it from Akeem through your experiences with him and observing him, and it came out. It basically stemmed from a relationship with someone else for you, and that actually brings about my next question, where, like I said before, even when I asked the first one, that we don't live in a vacuum, so it becomes really hard to practice. But I think it's even harder when it's not actually going out into the world, but actually bringing someone into your camp. So sometimes you have things that you think you figured out. And like Akeem said earlier, being selfish doesn't necessarily mean that you turn into an evil spawn, but it's just completely understanding where you're coming from in the world. And as a good person, those lines tend to be blurred. Like from my experience, it's very difficult to distinguish between what self-care is and caring too much for others is, because you derive some sort of satisfaction from someone else's happiness and derive satisfaction from your own happiness. And sometimes you tend to confuse the two, even despite how much you think you know yourself and all of that. So I was just gonna ask, where do you draw the lines, especially in terms of romantic relationships, or understanding that maybe someone's version of what life is different from yours, and basically drawing the lines between inspiration and copying, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Bless. So before we answer that question, I wanted to touch a little bit on the work and the previous questions. And it's something for us to recognize that we could really change how we view things and how things feel for us depending on how we perceive them, right? So you may be in a job and one day you're like, oh, this job sucks. I hate this job. Like, what am I doing here? I didn't even get my degree in this. You know, it's like, I never imagined myself here. The people at work are just so rude, you know? And then you could say that to yourself, and then you'd go home and you'd be like, oh, I'm not practicing self-care or self-love in these moments, you know? And then the next day you can go to work and you could be like, this job is a blessing. I have a hard time setting up boundaries in my life. Every day I go to work, I have the opportunity to set up boundaries with people who I work with. Every day I have the opportunity to go against a situation that isn't ideal for me and bring out the best in it. And you could look at it like, you know, I have a vision of myself in 1 year or 6 months. And currently the vision means that I have to be right here, because this is a very important part of my journey, right? Oh, I need to just make the money. Like, I'm just going to make this money so I could invest in this and I could start something. Okay, awesome. Then this job that had no meaning can all of a sudden become something that's meaningful, you know? Mm-hmm. So then it's important that we realize the power of our own minds and of our perceptions, because that's what shapes the world around us. So for me, when I had a job, I wanted to work as a personal trainer for myself, but then I realized, you know what? This is right after my self-isolation. I realized, I was like, you know, I haven't been around people that much and I've kind of been removed from society. So let me go to a job where I have to learn the interpersonal relationships and how to interact in different groups. Because if I work for myself, I would attract people who are already in my community. Right? So when I go to work at another place, I get a wide range of people. So I challenge myself to go to this work so that I could see how I could interact with people again, because I just tested out how I could love myself. Now let me see how that works in the workplace now. And then that's my experiment, right? But the whole time I'm just looking at it from that perspective. The whole time I'm looking at it like, you know, eventually I'm going to be an entrepreneur because I love to read, I love to study, I love to watch lectures, and I need more time for myself. So I know that's where I'm going, but currently this is my mission, right? So I think it's important that we just, you know, keep that the power of our mind, and we hold firm on that And then self-care, self-love can really be anything at any moment.
Wow, I'm about to go to work with a brand new attitude. My boss is going to be like, sorry, who did we hire? Yes, excuse me. This is, it's so true though, because I graduated in May and life amidst the pandemic was just like an extra layer. Life just did not look like what I had planned it to look like. And so it was a lot of months of beating myself up about not being where I want to be until, and many people had to sit me down and be like, this is an important part of your journey. And in a year from now, you might not be here, but all the lessons you've learned, all the skills you've acquired will finally come into to help in that eventual goal. So this is, I just have to be open to listening to that more and taking that in, imbibing it rather than just be like, oh, in through one year, out the other. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think for me, like when you hear all those things and everyone telling you that, oh, it's part of your journey, you're like, well, where is the journey ending? Like, what is the next step? Because right now I can only see this immediate thing. And to be honest with you, I'm not satisfied. Like, I'm still doing my undergrad and I'm like, I was searching for co-op jobs. So last year was like really tough for me because there weren't jobs anywhere, or there were, but they just weren't hired. And I got a job and I was like, well, this is not what I want to be using my econ degree to be doing. And everyone was like, no, it's okay. You are in your undergraduate degree. You don't even need like an important job or whatever it is. And then you see like all the people that are like in the same cohort as you getting all these like good jobs and things like that. And I think you mentioned importantly that it's very necessary for you to sort of derive your own internal measure of success. And I just wanted to ask if that is just like for you, does that, is that equivalent to happiness? Like for you and for Dora, is that equivalent to happiness? Or how do you also measure other forms of success in your life besides just like external pressures from like your mom and your friends and like what the people that did the same degree as you are doing? And then we can get into the romantic relationships question because I haven't forgotten that, but I asked so many questions.
So, well, I forget kind of the first thing that you were touching on.
Yeah, like after you sort of destroy everyone's perceptions of external like success or what they expect from you, how do you
Your
own internal measures of success?
I remember. So it's a quote from Abraham Hicks: "Is satisfied where I'm at, but eager for what's to come." Right. So we have to be able to kind of play from both sides. We're in the moment, we're like, we're satisfied with where we're at, no matter where we are, we're satisfied with where we are. Because if we trust source, trust God, trust whatever it is that you believe in, then you're here in this moment for a reason. So I'm satisfied for that, but eager for what's to come, right? And something that I feel is missing maybe with that is like, we just haven't painted out a picture of where we want to go, right? So if we don't know where we want to go, then we're like, oh, why am I here? And we don't know where this fits into the bigger picture of things, right? So I feel like everyone listening to this, take some time to craft your vision. Like, what is it that you want? What does a beautiful day for you look like? What does something that is challenging in your life that you want to face? What are some of those things? And then, you know, start to go over those things. So it's important to go for and be clear or have some kind of idea of where you're going. And that will help this moment, now moment, be a little bit more fluid and a little bit more easeful. And then when it comes to measuring success, it's like, it's really just like, am I doing what it is that I want to be doing? Or am I doing what it is that, am I doing what I love? Am I doing what I like to be doing? Is this, you know, is this something that I love? And then it goes back to, you know, I may not be doing that right now, but I'm on that path. So I'm successful. As long as I think in my head, I'm on a path, I'm successful. Mm-hmm. And I'm successful. And then it's just, you're successful in every moment, right? But the moment that you forget and then you lose that and then you forget that you're successful, you know, you just forget you're successful, you're not successful, but then you remember you're successful again. Oh, I'm on this path. Oh, what a beautiful journey. Give thanks. Oh, this is so terrible and hard. I'm successful. You know what I mean? So I feel like just that like intention of knowing that you're on that path and you're there and you're going somewhere and you're doing something right now, and that alone makes you a success. And like, even this story of just like, you come out of like millions, you're like one of millions of sperms.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. You made it.
Yeah.
Out of all the other millions, I don't even know if it's more than millions, billions, but a lot of sperms, you made it. So you are here and you're a success. No matter what happens from here on out, you're a success. You know, so true. Depends on how you want to look at it. There's different angles of how and where you can look at it from, but whatever you like, whatever makes you feel successful in that perspective, whatever you got to do to find that, then find that perspective.
Yeah, literally would never be able to say it as well as that, but I just want to reiterate for everybody who's listening, the core message of what I'm getting is that you may want to be at point A for your ultimate success, but it doesn't mean that where you are right now is not a part of that overall success. So try and treat it differently. And then I just want to pivot into Michelle's question. Michelle, do you want to reiterate what that was?
I also have it in my mind.
If I could share with like what we feel the question is, is like, how do you move into relationships, a lot, like even intimate relationships, and still keep that kind of boundary so you're not being too dependent in a relationship and you're still keeping up the self-care and self-love for yourself while also being in a relationship.
And also trying not to seem too independent as well, so keeping that balance.
Give thanks. So me personally, I think that's like, for me, that's like my hardest thing that I ever had to do, is to figure out that dynamic, you know, because like every individual is either on like more dependent or more independent scale, and for me, I'm in the more dependent side of things, you know. And it's like, when you do something that's like getting more independence, you feel like you're bad. Oh, that's not good. Like, you know, you're not showing love, you know? So it's a very difficult or challenging journey and path. And I feel like that's something I'm still working on and navigating. But it's like the same kind of principle, is just be easy on yourself, be light on yourself while you're on this path and journey of figuring it out. And while you're on the path, like everything that I learned, oh, me doing this for myself isn't taking anything away from Dora. You know, oh, so I can do that. I can carve out some time for myself. Oh, that's not bad. Then I have that now in my programming. Then I could add that to my way of operating. And then I forget about that next week, of course. And then I could try again, you know? So for me, it's just been really difficult and challenging. But I think if you're just intentional and mindful about it, then you could just know like, hey, I'm really dependent. I just want to be a little bit less dependent. And then you could just work towards that little by little.
I am very independent. So this has been... but I think that is why Akeem and I are together, because that's where the work is needed. You know, for me, I need to be more dependent and be able to, you know, allow myself to, you know, like delegate onto Akeem, or, you know, trust that he's got it. But it's hard. It's hard for me, and I'm working on that. But I know that once we're able to master this, then we're going to be unstoppable. But that is definitely where the work is needing to be done, is like, how can I be more dependent, and how can not even him be more independent. But the one thing that remains a constant is like, we both recognize that, we're both aware, and we're both actively like working to find a solution and not so focused on the problem. And we're both like committed to each other. And we're both able to be like, well, I'm learning, you know, before I was like, it's not me, it's you. But I'm like, hey, you know what? It's me. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is me. Right. And to be able to do that is very difficult for someone to, you know, hold themselves accountable and say, hey, maybe this was me. It is hard. So there has to be compassion there as well for yourself and for the other person, because, this is like, you know, you're peeling back wounds. My independence just didn't start when I met Akeem. This is from childhood, you know? Mm-hmm. So not only am I having to face my relationship issues, I have to now go back and heal the childhood trauma and childhood mm-hmm. wounds that are still open and haven't been healed yet. So there's so much at play when we bring somebody else into the picture of, you know, are you who you say you are? If you are healed and doing the work, okay, well, being in a relationship is going to show you how much work you've been doing, right? Because Akeem is like my mirror. So all the things that I, you know, maybe push to the side, and that's my 2021 New Year's resolution, I'll get to that later. He'll show me directly right now, June, what is it, 7th of 2020? Like, there's no waiting, you know? So once you are in a relationship with them, whether it's a friendship, a relationship, family members, whoever it is that you are in partnership with, like, they'll show you where that work is needed to be done. And another thing that I've found is like all the things that I've ever asked Akeem to do more of have always been a projection of what it is that I needed to do more of. So, oh, you don't look out for me, or you're not doing this for me. And then I like take a step back and I'm like, I'm not even doing that for you. I'm not even doing that for myself. So how am I expecting you to do it for me? And then I get angry when I realize that, but instead of confronting that own anger about myself, now I'm mad at him, you know? And he's like, but I haven't done anything. And I'm like, well, neither have I. So I'm angry. So yeah, there's layers, like layers to this. And I wish that mass media or social media would show the hardships of relationships, because you know, a lot of people will compliment us and be like, oh yeah, you guys are a power couple and da 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 da. It's like, yo, we are fighting for this. There's, you know, like we are actively fighting to make this happen so that you see this like picture perfect. Oh, you guys have got it together. But it's like, we are in the trenches doing work. So that when we have children, you know, they will have that picture of, wow, this is what parenthood looks like. This is what a divine union looks like, because I didn't come from that. He didn't come from that. And we're aware of that. And so we don't want to pass that on. And so, yeah, there's layers. There's layers.
I don't know. I just got excited for your kids. I was like, wow, these are going to be some conscious, self-loving kids. I just got so excited. I was like, yes, I cannot wait to see this. This is, and that's on healthy adult relationships. That's right. Yes.
And then another thing to like another layer onto that is like, you could study your partner. You know, like I'm coming from a basketball background where we had scouting reports, right? And my mentor that I'm working with right now, he's coming from a sports background. So he says scouting reports too, where you look at the team that you're playing against, and you look at them and you just see what you just analyze their game and what they're good at, what they're working on, where you could come bring the most value, right? So even within relationships, you can do that. Right, where you could study your partner and see what it is that they desire. What are some of the things that that they may be wanting to say and they're just not expressing it? What are some of the things that they've been going through in their childhood that you know is like, it must be showing up still? So you could be more forgiving or light, or you could help bring some kind of holding space, you know? So. Also, you can study your partner, and I feel that makes it helpful to see like how you could better interact, you know?
Yeah. So I think we basically just have one more question for you as we steer towards the end, because in summary, right now with the way that you've answered the question, I see it takes a lot of back and forth communication and understanding each other and just being very observant, and also learning to own up to your mistakes and your shortcomings. At the same time, I started thinking while you were talking that growth as an experience is a bit on the, for lack of a better word, addictive side. So as you continue to grow and discover things about yourself, it becomes more and more addictive and more interesting as you continue to do it. So my last question would be, how do you guys include each other in that process as well, where you've studied your partner, like you're saying, you know your partner like the back of your hand to a certain extent, but there's also so many experiences that you're going through in your mind and in a daily basis, and all the self-love that you're developing on the go that doesn't necessarily show, but is important in terms of how you perceive relationships or continue to grow with the other person. So how do you tackle those things, like the continuous growth thing? Because you think you know someone and then there's more growth tomorrow, and then you think you're sharing it, but sometimes you're really not. So how do you guys tackle that?
Well, it's like you can look at family and relationships that are like similar to you do like a business, right? So how would you do that in a business? You know, you set up meetings, you have certain things that you look at, and how are we doing when it comes to this? How are we doing when it comes to being supportive? How am I doing as a lover? How, you know, and then you set up meetings and you ask questions and, you know, it's just like, oh, okay. I didn't realize that. And then you just have to be able to set these meetings up or set up structures in your relationship to create space for conversation, for things to be expressed. And for, you know, for whatever it is that's being felt, for that to be released and let go. Because I feel like we expect each other to be like perfect at dealing with relationships and conflict, right? So then we're like, oh, I don't need to schedule a meeting. I don't need to schedule a date night because, you know, if he really loves me, then he'll, you know, then he'll just do it. You know, if he really loves me, then he'll just, you know, he'll say this to me. Or if he really loves me, so then we don't say anything, or we just, you know, we don't put that effort in, right? So I feel we can just be proactive, right? And schedule your meeting, schedule your date night, schedule whatever it is that you feel is important. Right? Because those who care prepare. So just prepare. Like, you know, why would we schedule our work day so much? And then when it comes to our relationship, we just leave it to be like, oh yeah, you know, like, oh sure, whatever, you know? You know, it doesn't really make any sense. So when you just look at it from that perspective, okay, so these same things that I apply to my business or my personal life, let me apply that to the relationship. And I feel that has been very helpful in addressing any possible issues before it gets into a thing where it's like so big and what the heck, where did that come from? You know? So I feel like, yeah, just that's important to just have those structures set up in your relationship to hold space for each other, to ask the questions, to speak on the things that are difficult and challenging to be spoken of. And then also just setting up the framework of, you know, we're in this together. We are on this, like, we're in this vision and mission together. We're on the same team. Like, I want to see you doing your best. You want to see me doing my best. I, you know, like, set up these basic foundations. So then when it comes to these conversations, you're not going to think bad or negative about that person, because you're like, oh no, they have my best interests in mind. Oh, we're in the same team. Oh, you know, okay. That's all right then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, for us, like, it was very foreign for me to, you know, how am I as a lover? Because I would just assume, like, I'm doing a good job. I'm a pretty great person, you know, but then you hear and it's like, oh wow. Okay. This is quite humbling. Like, I'm not, not as great as a lover as I thought, you know, check my Yelp reviews, but yeah. So I think it's important to have that, like, open communication and that recognition that you are on the same path and you have, like, a clear goal that you're working towards together. Because within that, then it's okay. As long as you're growing in the same direction, then that growth is welcome, you know? And it may look different for the, like, you know, for me, how I'm growing is different for him. But as long as we are growing in the same direction, that's key. You know, because it doesn't make sense to be growing outwards, you know. Yes. we're coming together at a point, but yeah, it's like these are things that we do in our relationship. Akeem scouts me that scouting report. I have one. I have them. You know, I have all these things. All these things wow. that he's saying. It's like it actually happens because that's what a relationship is. Like you can't be passive and just think that a relationship, a beautiful relationship, is just going to happen. You know, no. There's steps. There's, you know, building blocks, different things that you have to do to create what it is that you're wanting to see and feel in a relationship. And again, that's something that Akeem taught me because I was just laid back, like, oh, you take care of it. I'm going to take care of you, boo. Like, da 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 da. And then you just end up with nothing. You know, there's nothing there. There's no, you know, and he calls me on that all the time. You know, this is something that we're working towards. Well, then you need to be more active and like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? You know, that's not in line with the goals that we have for each other. And so, yeah, it's important to recognize that you're on the same path, on the same mission, that you are looking out for them. You're not coming after them because for me, I'm defensive. So I'm, you know, I could find myself feeling defensive and like, what do you mean? You know, but remembering that in those different situations and just not giving up, you know, it's so easy to give up when things don't go right. But it's like, when you look at it, you really haven't been trying as hard as you think you have, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. And if you have, then the relationship isn't for you and then you can take a step back, right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think this was a wonderful note to end the overall discussion on. You have left us with so many gems, and I know already that our listeners are gonna find this to be one of the most helpful episodes, a nice reminder as we move on into kind of the next phase of this global pandemic and figuring out what life looks like for ourselves and others from that too. So on behalf of us three, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking out the time and sharing all of this with us. And please plug yourselves. Tell our listeners where they can find you. We're going to tag you in a lot of our promotions anyways, but please tell us where we can find you on socials and everything.
Bless. So one thing I just want to say is relating back to the family is like at one point we had a tribe, like a community where the women would have talks with the other women in the community and the men would have with their men. And then we'd all come together as a community, but we don't really have that structure set up right now. So then we just got to create that for the individual. So give thanks. And yeah, give thanks for the conversation. Give thanks for the amazing, great questions, stimulated great dialogue and, you know, just great flow. So give thanks. For me, you can find me on Instagram at akeemo.therapy and on YouTube is one of my main things I focus on is actually YouTube. And I do long form videos and recipes and, you know, just a lot of what we're talking about here today. And that's Akeem Pierre. And then my website is akeempierre.com. And that's where you can find all the herbs from St. Lucia that we have, the Fonio from Mali, and also learn about our retreats because we have our retreats that's hosted in St. Lucia, and that's beyondwellnessretreats.com. And other than that is, yeah, giving thanks.
Thanks. You can find me on Instagram, Dora_Kamau. I have my meditations on there. You can also find me on Insight Timer where I have like a meditation course that I just released, all about self-care during uncertain times. Other than that, you can find me with Rich Soul Food. Sometimes I make appearances on Akeem's YouTube. but other than that, that's it.
Album coming out soon.
And my album is coming out soon. Yes. Yes. You heard it here, y'all. Yes. Good thing.
Okay, Rachel, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I was actually just going to say, that was actually it. Yeah, I was just going to say thank you so much. And we'll keep you updated on when this episode goes out. And to all our listeners, hit the follow button on all of their socials. Trust me, it's worthy content. It's going to keep me in check for sure. Any last notes, Akosia, Michelle?
I think, thank you so much for sharing a lot. I think one of the main things I took up from all the things you shared was self-agency. And I think a lot of times we rely on other people to do work to make our situations better, but just know mm-hmm. like little things that we can do personally to change our situation is a lot more empowering than like leaving your whole world into someone's hands. So I'm very grateful for that. I think that's my takeaway. I wasn't supposed to say anything. I was just supposed to peace out. Peace out.
Yeah, I think, thank you so much. You've given us a lot of content to reflect on our balance, especially. That's one thing I derive from that. Just finding that balance and finding the middle. It's easier said than done, for sure. But it's really inspiring to hear it from people who are actually practicing it and it's working for them, as opposed to like theorizing on it and talking about how it works, but we don't essentially see it. So thank you so much for just being genuine and transparent and about it, and just sharing with us what your journey is and how it's not the easiest, but it's doable. We can get there, and we will be watching your socials, and I hope our listeners will be as well after this.
Great. Okay. And that's been it.
Thanks.
Nerd Culture Kids.
And bye. Before we stop, I just want to say, like, to make this more than just like content or something, like some creation or podcast, to like actually reach out and like utilize us, because now you have a connection with us.
Yes.
Right? So now if there's some things that you may want to get clarity on, you may want assistance, you want to set up your online store, you want to learn how to do meditations, you want to do, you know, some of these skills that we have, like utilize us, you know, it's not just like to talk and conversate. All right, peace out. You know, what's the next podcast? You know what I mean? Yes, so just definitely. Like, you know, within the self-agency is also to know that we're here. Community. And to, yeah, reach out. And, you know, me, I want to be a value and of service. So, you know, utilize that.
Wow, yes. Amazing. Thank you for that.
Thank you so
that
much.
Message.
I will not be peacing.
You definitely will. You're going to see a lot more of us, I promise you.
You might regret the offer, but